The Talk of Mid-Maryland, 930 WFMD.
This is the 930 WFMD Weekend Free Talk Express, featuring highlights from local talk shows with your host, Bob Dacey.
Hello, I'm Bob Dacey, and welcome to WFMD's Weekend Free Talk Express, where we revisit some of the best talk shows we have on the air for the past week. So let's sit back, relax, and listen to what we have in store for you on this week's show.
Well, welcome everybody to this week's edition of Weekend Free Talk Express. This is WFMD's weekly news magazine, and we got a finally starting to get a little bit away from the elections. So we'll have some other stories for you too today. We have Pat America, who is talking with Ryan, Morning News Express, about the elections and what has happened and what has changed. And that's going to be something that folks are going to be analyzing for a while, because this last election was quite a mess. We also have Ryan and Bob talking about the newest kind of criminals out there, the worst kind, actually. They're called porch pirates. And what do? They come and steal your Christmas presents. Isn't that a lovely group of people? Yes, the kind of folks that you really want to support. So let's take a listen to them, too. We have a real important time here with Tim, Frank, and a caller talking about the marijuana laws. And you know what? They're not all good. Yes, they're getting ready to go into effect here in Maryland. But you know what? It's nothing that's absolutely perfect. And they're talking about some of the things that go wrong. But we're going to start off with Bob and Ryan talking about those mail-in ballots and how things are changing for elections now. Republicans certainly got themselves hoodwinked this last election. They got to figure out how to handle the new election laws and things that are happening. So without further ado, let's get
WFMD is the Morning News Express. Good morning, Ryan. Did shine up and at him. Ryan Hedrick, Bob Miller. I love what Joe Pags. I love that
the promo.
Yeah. that played, because he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And I just posted on my Facebook. I guess maybe should do it on the stations. But I'm asking the question: is how many people got a mail-in ballot sent to them? Did everybody in the county get a mail-in ballot?
Mm-hmm. So I have a whole new take on this after listening to some people and after really studying what's going on. It's not about the votes anymore. It's not. It's about the ballots. It's a ballot game.
Mm-hmm.
When we hear news organizations that are reporting on the ballots coming in, they're constantly saying they're still counting ballots. We are not in a position in the United States of America anymore in our election season, which is now it's a whole season for months and months. We're not counting votes anymore. We need to start counting ballots. So however the Republicans need to flood communities with ballots, that's what you need to do. But whoever gets the most ballots back and whoever gets the most ballots counted wins the election. It's no longer about the single vote.
I heard in the top of the hour newscast where it was Barbara Wagner, who is the Freddie County Board of Elections top person, said that today they're doing provisional ballots. So we had early ballots, mail-in ballots, mail-in ballots too. And then she said, well, after the provisionals, and I think she said there was 2,000, maybe a little bit more of those.
Yeah.
And then they would go back to counting mail-in ballots. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how many stinking ballots do we have?
Yeah, this is really confusing. And the Democrats did this during the COVID pandemic. They created this ballot game. And again, the Republicans just need to get good at ballots. The more ballots that you can put out there and the more ballots that people could send back with your name on it, that's who's going to be the elected officials in this country. The game is different. The game has changed, and we need to adapt to the new rules of the game.
Make the rules to go back the way they used to
be. Well, here,
one day, one vote, and then, and I do okay, I'm okay with ballots of people who do the absentee ballots. I think that everybody who wants a mail-in ballot should have to go down to the Board of Elections and get one, and then they can mail it in.
So how are we going to change the rules of the game? Because we talk about that all the time, and we both agree that it's one ballot, one person. But the way we're going to get the rules reversed is if the Democrats start losing the ballot ground game. Once they start losing the ballot ground game, like a little child that has had enough of the bully in the sandbox, they're not going to want to play anymore.
And to Wednesday, it is an important day. Left off talking about some of the new laws that are changing and some of the new referendums that have been elected and passed and things like that. And, of course, you can't, you know, be anywhere in Maryland that somebody isn't talking about the new marijuana laws, which will go into effect. You think around July of next year, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Marijuana makes it a
famous quote.
What was it?
From the movie Woodstock.
Yeah, I didn't hear what the quote was.
Oh, Marijuana Exhibit A.
Let me ask you about the writing of the book. What?
Anyway.
Uh-huh. I saw. I didn't want to hear about that. Well, I don't remember that because, Woodstock, I wasn't old enough to be there. But anyhow, 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFND. And I'm not going to push this, because people know how I feel. And, you've chosen up sides. I decide to be on the side of common sense and sanity, but that doesn't mean you're wrong being on the other side. But, what I'm thinking of, Frank, is if these are questions that I don't know. Now, as a law enforcement person, I've arrested people in possession and smoking marijuana. But is there a particular way that you could actually tell by someone's actions if they were using marijuana? I mean, like if someone takes too much alcohol, they slip and slide and slur and things like that. Are there any, I know you don't know personally, but I'm saying, are there any telltale signs, so to speak, so that I could see if my dentist was using it or my doctor or... Huh?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe a great big smile?
Yeah, I don't know. It could be I wonder what they're thinking. Or, maybe, I don't know if you want that in some places, I guess. I don't know. I'm just
I don't know if that would get you all worked up.
No, yeah, I couldn't tell, because they would think I'm on a marijuana because I smile all the time, Frank. But, then again, what do I know? I tell you somebody that knows everything. Michael, what say you?
Michael said that he does burn them occasionally. about this pot thing. Now, whenever you're talking about, can they detect people if they've been smoking pot? Well, how about can they detect people if they've taken any kind of opiates, like pain pills, as well as, maybe, I don't know about that.
It's a fair question if you can ask Tim's question.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Of course. Pain drugs are a lot more dilibating. What's it called? Dilibating, Peyton?
Dilibating.
Yeah, you must be on marijuana.
Dilibating.
Right now. Yeah.
Than pot by far, know?
Michael, are there any telltale signs so that if you were, if I was trying to deal with, my pharmacist or my dentist, could I tell if they were on, high on marijuana?
No, not really. I mean, they could put eye drops in their eyes to kill the red, in case they had red eyes before they walk in the door.
Okay.
And, it doesn't really, I guess everybody reacts, differently to everything. And there are maybe people that will act like, kind of like in there in a daze or something.
Right.
But it's all different. But I also want to mention, this will create kind of a small industry.
Oh, yeah.
More like a big industry, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Well, it also creates the other industry. The black market will go wild with this.
No.
Sure it will.
Well, how about greenhouses?
Yes.
And things of the future. Now, let me tell you guys something, and this is kind of a hard one to swallow, but I swear, I was in California 3 years ago. I grew up in Montgomery County, but I have friends that went out to California when I lived out there. Been out there 40 years.
Right.
So, as I met friends of friends of friends that live in the Golden Triangle, the real deal we're talking here.
Yep.
Up in the Redwood. So I went up there and actually went to one of these people's, really nice people, that have been growing pot for over 30 years.
Uh-huh.
Illegally.
Yeah.
Illegally professionally. Okay. These guys really knew what they were doing. So, each plant that they had was about the size of, let's call it a RAV4, but it was about twice as high. Each plant produced 8 pounds of buds. Of buds.
Hey, Tim's mouth is watering right now.
Yeah. So, and they had different kinds growing, you know, here. There were these great big pods that are like 4 feet tall, like burlap bags wrapped all around it, and then filled with their soil. But knew what they were doing, you know, strictly a professional operation, but, you know, family run thing.
Yeah.
And,
no, there has been for some time, I've heard in Northern California quite a lot of what you're describing. The interesting thing is,
yes,
I think that the growers there, when California, back when they were debating whether to legalize it, were highly opposed, which is very interesting.
Because they didn't want their business interrupted.
Right.
Well, that's why what I found is some friends of mine in Colorado. They said that they were thinking that once they legalized it, the recreational marijuana, that would sort of end the black market. And they're telling me did just the opposite because, first of all, the fear and of actually selling it no longer really amounted to anything, and that they were undercutting the state prices because, I don't know, the state has a tax. You don't, like Frank said, some of the state taxes are very high on marijuana, so if you can sell it cheaper, people—that's where, you know, what the market will bear. Correct. Now, Michael, would you buy it from a friend cheaper than buy it from a state store?
Oh my God! So here's what they said. They said, you know, about 5 years ago, 7 years ago, we were getting over $2,000 a pound when we sold this stuff.
Right.
And they sold many, many pounds. And they said, now we're lucky to get 800 because the market's been flooded. You know, there's so many other people growing
sure.
it.
Yeah.
The dispensaries. They said, you know, after we pay the trimmers, you know, they pay the little girls to trim off all the leaves and stuff. They said it brings us down to about 800 a pound. And they were getting out of it at that time. But it will definitely... There's going to be people get hurt because there's going to be people robbing other people's pot plants. There's going to be some things that will happen that won't be good. You know, they have people out there that's what they did for a living. They stole pot plants from people growing it. Well, you know, they were former growers
yeah.
that knew how to grow it. They knew where to look for it.
Hmm. That's going to break up a lot of our local... industry here, I would think. I'm not going to say that out loud, but thinking of it.
At WFMD, Bob Miller, Ryan Hedrick with you, and it is a cool Wednesday morning, Bob Miller.
And that means cool, not as in, hey, we're cool.
Cool. No. I stopped being cool like 10 years ago. Anyway, there is a weird phenomenon going on. It's a criminal phenomenon, Bob. It's called porch pirates. Yeah, that's how they start off by ringing your bell, and then if you're not home, they'll take your package. Well, doorbell security cameras can help you avoid a porch pirate attack, but experts say it shouldn't be the only security tactic that you use. A recent survey finds 84% of Americans, Bob, plan to have at least one package delivered during the holiday season. If you're my wife, you have packages delivered every day.
Yeah, we, you know, the old ad saying is, and is that the Amazon driver stopped at the house the other day because we haven't had something delivered in a couple of days just to make sure we were okay.
Right.
So I've got two packages ready to come from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And but yes, there are ways to get around that, though.
Yeah, so you could pick a package up in person. You could obviously have a doorbell camera. Like when I DoorDash uh-huh. and I lay food down on somebody's porch, sometimes you can hear the Ring camera saying, now recording. It makes me feel weird, but if I was a criminal and I was, you know, trying to take a package, it would probably scare me off. And lastly, a lot of companies will let shoppers include delivery details when they're placing an order. Mm-hmm. They can include requesting them to leave a package on the side of the door that's directly in front of the camera or behind a fence or bush. It is 640 at WFM.
Morning News Express by Miller Ryan Hedrick. To kind of go back to your story about the Amazon packages or porch pirates, they're
porch
out there.
Porch pirates, yeah.
Porch pirates. And a lot of people just run up and grab your packages. And I know people, two things. I've known people who put things in Amazon boxes like the trash and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And just have the porch pirates grab the trash. they'll grab just trash. I've seen people build like boxes to where there's like a trap door and you can't get into it after they put the package in there. And I've also seen, when I ordered some stuff just recently, they said, do you want to pick it up here? And they had a place where they have Amazon lockers that if it's small enough, they stick it in a locker, you have a code, and when you go there, you scan it with your phone, and it opens up, and you grab your package.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's sad that we even have to talk about this because people are just snagging packages off of your porch. And how many times do we see like a TikTok video or an Instagram video where somebody will get creative and just they're sick of packages being taken off their porch and they'll put like an explosive device in a package or put like a lot of honey on a package and some stupid thief will grab the package and you'll see his reaction is he tries to shake free from this incendiary package or, you know, package that's now sticking to his hand. So I like those. But yeah,
people are crooks. They've been crooks, you know, as long as time has been around.
Right.
People have been crooks. And it's a shame when somebody works hard and buys something and somebody else feels. Again, they're entitled to it.
Yeah.
They're entitled to it. And it's not just men. It's men and women, kids, and it's of all ages. I see women running up to these places and just stealing stuff.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst and cancer champion Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. Join our team to help fund game-changing research that saves lives. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over the odds. V is for victory over health disparities, victory over setbacks, victory over the unknown. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join the V Foundation team and help save lives.
Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul.
Join our team in the fight against cancer at V.org.
It's 541 at WFMD and WFMD.com. Pat America in the house. If loving America is wrong, he doesn't want to be right. What's going on, Pat? Good morning.
Good morning, Ryan.
All right, let's start off with the elections. Did not turn out the way the Republicans hoped it would. I'm still skeptical about the House. And the Senate is lost, right? We're still counting, and that's what's most disturbing this morning, Pat. We are still counting in Arizona. Maricopa County is not a small backwoods county. It's Phoenix, Arizona, Maricopa County. But when you talk about who turned out to vote, it was young voters. They came out in droves, according to a new research report out this morning from the Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement at Tufts University. 27% of people ages 18 to 29 voted in 2022. What can we tell from this, Pat? What should we make of this fact?
I think it's something to be optimistic about. And I think it shows that at least young people are more invested in, you know, where they want to see the future, you know, lead them.
Mm-hmm.
I know probably between 18 and 25, I wasn't very interested in voting. But as I've gotten older, voting, you know, it's one of the rights that we have that a lot of countries don't have. Like, we get to choose who our elected leaders are and how our country will be governed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of nice to see younger people caring and, like, you know, they actually get invested in the politics and where our country is going to go.
My only concern is that it takes a disaster or it takes a crisis to get young people out to the polls. Case in point, the abortion issue, Roe versus Wade. We've talked about this before. It's very concerning to me that the leaker is still unaccounted for in that particular decision, the Supreme Court decision. The decision was leaked, if people don't know, months before they actually overturned Roe versus Wade. It concerns me that that was a major turning point for people. A lot of the exit polls show that young people voted solely on that abortion issue. And further, it concerns me that we're still counting. You know, I know I didn't put this on the agenda, Pat, but it concerns me that people that have voted for a long time feel disenfranchised by the process of mail-in voting and absentee voting and things of that nature. I mean, does it concern you that we're still counting in a county as big and as rich as Maricopa County, Arizona?
Of course. Now, Ryan, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Gangs of New York.
I have.
But it is very reminiscent of the scene where I think they're electing a new mayor of the town. And they say, you know, it doesn't matter how many votes there are. You know, it matters who's counting them. Like, keep counting the votes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand, like, you know, how these incredibly rich, incredibly, you know, well-to-do towns are, you know, just incapable of getting all the mail-in ballots accounted for and looked over. How long do you need?
Yeah. I want to read you something that somebody in Atlanta sent to me a couple of minutes before the show started today. And it's about the Georgia runoff. It says Saturday voting is forbidden during the U.S. runoff due to a former holiday dedicated to Robert E. Lee. There will not be an early voting on Saturday before the December 6th Senate runoff between Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker, because it will take place on the day after a state holiday that was initially created to honor Confederate General Robert E. Lee. This person says, as a result, there are 5 days of required in-person early voting on the weekdays before the December 6th runoff. Each county government has the option to offer a maximum of 3 more early voting days starting the day after the results of the initial election are certified. Are you confused? Because I am. It says, in the case of the 2022 U.S. Senate runoffs, early voting could be provided on the Tuesday and Wednesday before Thanksgiving and the Sunday afterward. We need major election reform in the United States of America, because what I just read to you, to me, doesn't make any sense. And I know how we could squash all this. One day, one vote. One Absolutely. Day, one vote.
Absolutely. And I think the only exception to that should be people who are disabled and not able to physically make it from their home to the polling location.
Mm-hmm.
Or they should be the only ones doing mail-in ballots.
Or military veterans that Absolutely. Are serving abroad that are physically unable to get to the polls. But if you are able-bodied and willing to vote in an election, you should get to the polls the day of. And maybe it should be a federal holiday where everybody has access, so we could take away the excuse that there are voting, you know, disparities and things of that nature, as Stacey Abrams tried to use as a campaign talking point.
That about wraps it up for Weekend Free Talk Express. We hope you enjoyed some of the interviews brought back from this past week's broadcast on Free Talk WFMD. Join us again next time. Until then, I'm Bob Dacey.
Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com, a service of Holtzapfel Heating and Air Conditioning.